All right, what is our study that we've been going over?
Knowing God.
Knowing God, yes. Okay, so we're going to review a little bit from where we've come from. So what have we talked about thus far in the past 2 weeks? We've been in the study for 2 weeks. Yes.
Knowing God is eternal life.
Yeah, knowing God is eternal life. Do you remember the passage that was from?
Yes.
What was the passage?
I don't know.
Jesus said it.
Matthew.
He was on his way to the cross.
Matthew 5.
No, it was in the Gospel of John.
John 17:3.
Here, turn there with me. Look what it says. John 17:3. Someone, whoever gets there first, someone please read that for me. Oh, I don't have any Jolly Ranchers today. Shh. Hey, guys. Shh. Quinn's going to read. Awesome. This is eternal life. What's eternal life? That they know you. Knowing God is eternal life. So, 2 weeks ago, we explored that knowing God is not just about collecting a bunch of facts, right? We talked about that. Not about just coming here on Sunday mornings and learning more about God, but it's about entering into a life-changing relationship with God. Okay, what else did we learn? What did we learn last week?
Knowing
yes. Close.
Knowing God through Scripture,
yes. Yeah, we get to know God through Scripture, okay? So what else did we learn? What else did you guys learn? So that was kind of the general point. What did you learn throughout last week? Yeah, Will. Yes, yeah, our time is limited. So we should use every opportunity to get to know the Lord more and more. Good job. Yeah. So how do we do that, you may ask? How do we know God? We talked about this last week. We do that through confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. We do that by believing in Jesus. We do that by repenting of one's sins. And this is how we can enter into a life-changing relationship with God. That's the first step, okay? Starting that relationship by confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, believing in him, and repenting of your sins, okay? Yeah, Jesus teaches in John 17:3, which you just read, eternal life is about intimately knowing the Lord, not just about knowing about him. A lot of people know about God, okay? There's going to be, I mean, what's it say? Wide is the way that leads to, do you guys know that passage? Wide is the way that leads to what?
Destruction.
Narrow is the way that leads to life. So a lot of people will say, yeah, I know about God, but there will be very few who say, yes, I actually truly know God. So this truth is urgent because eternity is at stake, okay? Eternity is on the line. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Seeking God now has everlasting implications on your life. So in a world full of distractions, you must intentionally hit pause. You must intentionally be still and know God, as the psalmist says. Prioritize time with God through his word. And as we're going to talk about this morning, through prayer, we must be still and know God through Bible study and prayer. We studied that first aspect of this definition and last week, and we studied that was one of the most crucial ways we come to know God. We come to know him through his word. The Bible is not just a book of stories. Not like your favorite novel, Harry Potter, Star Wars, whatever book you like to read, The Hobbit. It is God's living word. It is God's living and active revelation of himself, okay? And it's essential in our pursuit of knowing him. And that leads us to this morning's lesson, where we're going to focus on the last half of that definition, okay? Knowing God through Bible study and prayer, okay? Prayer is what we're going to be talking about today. And then next week, we'll talk about meditation. Okay, so you'll see meditation in the big idea today, but we're going to talk about that next week. So that'll also be the big idea next week. But let me start with a word of prayer as we begin to talk about prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just this time to study your word, to fellowship with one another, and just enjoy time together as a body of believers. I thank you for the church and for just everything that we have here. Thank you for just the freedom to come here on Sunday mornings and to hear your word being preached and taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, picture this with me, okay? There's someone in your life, a friend, a family member, who is absolutely awful at communicating to you via cell phone or via text message, whatever that may be, okay? Maybe this comes to mind all too quickly for some of you, as I myself am not the greatest at texting and responding, but maybe you think of someone in your life. I know at times I can be this person, like I've just said, who is awful at communicating, but maybe it's that one person who never answers your calls when you call them. And so you're always leaving the voicemail, even though you know they just saw you call them and they just put their phone down to keep doing whatever they were doing, right? Or the one person who ignores your voicemails completely. Maybe it's the person who takes days to reply to your text messages, or even worse, they never charge their phone, so you can't reach them at all, okay? So there are a few of you in our youth group who struggle with this aspect of never charging your phone, so that it's hard to get a hold of you. It's impossible to get a hold of you because your phones are literally always dead. There's really one person I'm thinking of, but I will not say names. Their phone is always dead, and so it's hard to get a hold of them. Whatever the case, you know exactly how frustrating it is to get a hold of someone who just won't communicate the way you need them to, right? It's like they're unreachable at times. It's like, it makes you feel so... I mean, it makes you feel like you're unloved. Maybe like you're talking to a wall, right? Shh, guys. Feels like you're talking to a wall at times. But here's the good news. When it comes to talking to the Lord, we never have to worry about any of that. God is always available. He will always pick up our calls. He will always hear us. Prayer is the way we stay connected to Him. And unlike cell phone challenged people, God never leaves us hanging. He never ignores our calls. And so today we're going to talk about how we can use prayer to stay in close communication with our Creator of the universe, who always answers. So last week we talked about how do we hear from the Lord. We hear from Him through His Word. He's told us everything we need to know for life and godliness through His Word. He's not revealing anything new to us. So if people say, "I heard this from the Lord," most of the time, it is not true, okay? He's not revealing anything new to us anymore. His word is sufficient, it's complete, it's perfect for life and godliness, okay? But the way we communicate, because I said a relationship is what?
Two-way.
It's a two-way street, yeah, okay? You communicate with the person. If you only communicate with the person, it's just a lecture. It's just, you're just talking to a wall. Like, in a relationship, you need back and forth, okay? You need to communicate to them. They need to communicate to you to have that relationship. Okay, same way with the Lord, okay? He has communicated to us, so we also need to communicate to Him, okay? He wants to hear us. And so that's why we're going to talk about prayer this morning. So we can't disregard the role of prayer in our relationship with God. It's vital. And at times, we overlook prayer. I don't know about you, but even myself, I tend to focus on studying the Word of God, and kind of leave prayer on the back burner. But it's vital in our relationship with the Lord. It's a two-way means of communication that is just like any other relationship of our lives that I talked about. To know God, you have to talk to God. And we have to listen to what He says back to us through His Word. And we saw that last week. I was going to, in your small group time, I was going to have you practice some of these things out. But we won't get there this morning. We'll just walk through the lesson. But we need to look at what prayer is all about. So our big idea this morning is this, and you can write it down. Prayer and meditation are the lifeblood of knowing God. Prayer and meditation are the lifeblood of knowing God. We're going to talk about meditation, how meditation plays into it next week. Meditation isn't like sitting, you know, Indian style with your fingers out, right? That's not meditation. Meditation is a lot more than that, okay? But we're going to talk about prayer this morning, okay? What I want to do this morning is to show you what prayer is and what it is not.
Can you say okay? It one more time?
Yeah, prayer and meditation are the lifeblood. That's one word, life and then blood. Lifeblood of knowing God, It's vital in our relationship with the Lord. So our points today are structured a little differently, okay, than I've usually structured them. But we'll see that here in a second. So take your Bibles and open up to Matthew 6. I'm going to need some readers this morning. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Before we dive into this passage, it's important to understand.
Matthew 6:1.
I'll tell you in a second. Just turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. It's important to understand some of the context of this passage. What's happening in Matthew 6? Can anyone help me out? Okay, yeah, Jesus teaches about. What was that? Yeah, he's teaching, and he's teaching one of the most famous sermons ever, the Sermon on the Mount, okay? The most famous sermon probably ever in the history of sermons, okay? And Jesus is teaching this on a mountaintop to these people, and he's delivering his longest recorded sermon here in Scripture. And in this sermon, he's teaching his followers what it means to live as citizens of God's kingdom, not just following outward religious practices, but having hearts that truly seek after God. So what does it mean to live as a Christ follower here in this world? That's what he's telling us here in the Sermon on the Mount. So with that in mind, let's look at what Jesus says about prayer. Matthew 6, verse 5. Can I have someone read verse 5 through 7? 5 through 7 for me. Yes, can you read that nice and loud?
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites.
Yeah, hypocrites, yeah. Yep, that's good.
They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, and they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
Awesome. Can someone read verses 9 through 15 for me? Let's do a guy. Let's do Grayson. Grayson, nice and loud for us. 9 through 15.
Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Earth as it is in heaven, give this day to our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, and we have forgiven our debtors. And let us not be into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you forgive others in their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But do not forgive others in trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses.
Awesome. Thank you guys for reading. All right, so point number one is this, what prayer is not, okay? We're going to learn, first of all, what prayer is not, then we're going to learn what prayer is, okay? And we see that, just that very model here in the Lord's Prayer. He gives us what it is not, and then what we should be praying for. So before we talk about what prayer is, let's clear up some common misconceptions, common misunderstandings, okay? So the first point underneath what prayer is not is prayer is not a performance. Prayer is not a performance. So number one is what prayer is not. The first letter A is prayer is not a performance. Someone read verse 5 again for me. Who's got that? Will, can you read that nice and loud? Verse 5.
When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites.
Awesome. Thank you. So let me illustrate it this way. So a couple weeks ago, I was working from Panera Bread. Do you guys like sitting in Panera Bread eating? Do you guys like Panera Bread?
I was there yesterday.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, okay. It's Bread Co. Yeah. It's Bread Co. But I was sitting in Bread Co and I was working. Okay. Because actually this was a couple months ago, actually, because we weren't in this building yet. So we didn't have office spaces. So I was working from Bread Co. But at this particular, I'm going to call it Panera, okay, because it's easier. at this particular Panera, the tables were way too close together, okay? They were way too close together, which made for some fun, unintentional eavesdropping, if you've ever done that, on another conversation. So I was sitting there, I was doing my work, And I actually had soundproof headphones on, but you can still hear some stuff through some soundproof headphones if they're cheap like mine. So I guess they're not soundproof, they're noise canceling. Is that like the next tier? So noise canceling, and then it's like soundproof, which is the best tier, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, mine are noise canceling then. So I had my headphones on, but I could still hear this conversation because right next to me, these two men were having this interview, okay? This guy was interviewing for this job and he was being asked a bunch of questions from this other guy. But despite wearing noise canceling headphones, despite having white noise in my headphones to try to block out the sound of Panera Bread that day, I could hear every word that they spoke. So the interviewer in particular, he was impossible to ignore. Okay, this guy that was giving the interview, that was trying to hire this guy, was impossible to ignore. Okay, he wasn't just talking, he was making a scene. And every word that came out of his mouth was very, very dramatic. His voice carried across the entire room, and he used big, impressive language, probably to impress the people around him, right? At one point, they started discussing numbers, like the company's success, how much money they have, and all that kind of stuff. And his voice got even louder and louder and louder, almost as if he wanted the whole restaurant to hear what he was saying when he was proclaiming these numbers of the company. Okay, because it was a lot of numbers. It was some millions in there. So it was a lot of numbers. But it wasn't just a conversation. It felt like a performance, okay, as if he was more concerned with looking important and looking good rather than engaging, genuinely engaging with the person in front of him. And he was interviewing this guy for this job, and he was talking more than the guy who was being interviewed, okay? So now contrast that with a person, someone maybe in the same restaurant, and we'll say this person is two ladies meeting, sitting quietly in the corner, having a heartfelt conversation with each other, okay? You could tell by their expressions that they were fully present, they're engaged, they're listening to each other, and they're responding sincerely and correctly with each other in a relationship, okay? It wasn't about who was watching those two ladies, you know, converse. It was about the relationship, the connection that they had with each other. Guys, this is the very distinction Jesus makes in verse 5 here, right? He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners and pray loudly so that they may be seen by others. Truly I say, they have received their reward." You see, some of the religious leaders treated prayer like a performance, okay? They used it to be noticed by people. They used it to be praised by other people. They used it to be seen as super spiritual, but God isn't impressed with showy prayers, okay? He doesn't need for us to put on a display for him. He desires a genuine relationship and connection with us. Guys, real prayer isn't about impressing the other person or anyone else around you. It's about having an authentic, personal conversation with your Lord and Savior, who already knows your hearts, okay? Who already knows your hearts. Jesus warns against praying to be seen by others. It's not about impressing people around you. It's about communicating with God. God isn't interested in how eloquent or how lengthy your prayers are. He cares about your hearts. And he already knows your heart. So just speak from the heart when you pray. So prayer is not a performance. Letter B, prayer is not about empty words. It's not about empty words. Look at verse 7. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many..." Actually, let's go back to verse 6. "When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you." That's very similar, that back and forth. Don't pray for a performance. Pray sincerely out of your heart in verse 6. And then verse 7 is this. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Prayer is not about empty words. So Jesus is addressing a common practice among Gentiles, among non-Jews in his time. Okay? Many pagan religions, okay, many other religions, believed that their gods would only hear them if they prayed repetitively, okay? You know, time and time again, or if they used elaborate ritualistic language. See, their prayers were often long. Their prayers were filled with meaningless repetition, saying the same things every single day, as if a sheer number of words would make their prayers effective, or the Lord would, or their gods would hear their prayers if they said so many words. So he's addressing this common practice among the Gentiles. And so even today, people can fall into this trap, kind of applying that to today's time, by thinking that prayer is just about saying the right things or the right formula or repeating certain phrases over and over again without engaging your heart in the process of prayer. For example, have you ever caught yourself saying words in prayer without actually thinking before you speak? Like quickly mumbling a prayer before a meal out of habit, right? Like, dear Jesus, thank you for this food. Help it nourish my body, even though I'm eating a greasy hamburger and fries. Help this nourish my body. So you're just mumbling these words without even thinking about it, just out of habit. I do this all the time when I sit down for a meal. And really, it's not great. You see, prayer is not about sounding spiritual or using the right words. Prayer is about coming to God with sincerity. And then the last one there, prayer is not about manipulating God. Prayer is not about manipulating God. Manipulating, how's it spelled? How do you guys spell it? Yeah.
M-A-N-I-P-L-U-L.
I-P-U-L-A-T-I-N-G. Yep. Man, M-A-N-I-P-U-L-A-T-I-N-G. What does that mean? Someone else. Yeah, Will. Yeah, like using or twisting for your own desires. That's great, yeah. Someone read verse 8 for me. Yes, yeah.
Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
All right, so what is he talking about? Do not be like them. What is he talking about there? Yeah. Don't use empty words. Yeah, don't be like the Gentiles, right, which we just talked about in verse 7, who just heap up a bunch of empty words. So they're just saying a bunch of empty words, empty phrases, and they're heaping them up, and the Lord's telling us, don't be like these people. Don't manipulate the Lord. See, this verse follows Jesus' warning against heaping up empty phrases in prayer. See, here in verse 8, he reminds us that prayer is not about forcing God's hand. We can't force his hand. We can't convince him to give us what we want or try to manipulate him into an action to do something for us. Guys, prayer is not a transaction, okay? Many people see prayer kind of like as a spiritual vending machine, okay? What do you do at vending machines?
You pay for anything that you like.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to the vending machine, you put some money in, and you get what you want out of it, right?
Sometimes it's rigged.
You get your soda, you get your candy bar, you get your bag of chips, whatever it is that you get from the vending machine, okay? Many people see prayer in that manner, okay? Like, I'm going to pray to the Lord about this, and I'm going to get it from him, okay? That's not how prayer works. It's not a transaction, okay? They say, if I say the right words, if I perform the right actions, if I pray long enough, then the Lord will respond to me just the way I want him to respond, okay? Let me give you a few examples, okay? So if I pray every night before bed, God will give me what I want, okay? It's kind of like when I prayed in high school all the time, Lord, please let us get to the championship game. I really want this. I really want to win a championship. And that's what I prayed. I was kind of manipulating the Lord in that way, even though I can't manipulate the Lord. But I prayed those prayers before bed. God, give me what I want, when I want it. Here's another example. If I use the perfect words or pray in a certain posture, God will hear me better. It's not the case. Like some people think, lying on the floor with your head down, facing the floor, and praying like that, that's more appropriate posture to pray. No, it's not the case if your heart is not genuine, if your heart is not sincere in the matter. Example three is this. If I bargain enough with God, God, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. Then he'll answer. It's not the case. See, this kind of thinking treats prayer like a formula rather than a relationship. We should never treat prayer like a formula, okay? It always should be treated like a relationship. God is not a genie, okay, who grants wishes based on a right combination of words. You can't just rub the lamp and then out comes the genie and you have three wishes. That's not what the Lord is about. Prayer is not a performance. It's not a formula. It's not just a wish list of things. Guys, it's an invitation to connect with Almighty God, the one who created you, the one who created me, who created the entire world and everything in it, who already knows your heart, who already knows your desires, and who wants a real relationship with you. So, we talked about what prayer is not, okay? Any questions on what prayer is not? All right, number two, what is prayer? What is prayer? We're going to look at what prayer is. So now that we've cleared up what prayer is not, let's focus on what prayer truly is according to Scripture. So prayer is a personal relationship with God. Letter A. Prayer is a personal relationship with God. Letter A. It's a personal relationship with God. Prayer is a personal relationship with God. Can someone read verse 9 through 13 for me? Someone who hasn't read. Who hasn't read, who can read? Okay, Adam, thanks. Verse 9, yes. Chapter 6, verse 9 through 13.
Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Awesome, thank you. So Jesus teaches us how to pray by giving us the Lord's Prayer. How many of you guys have memorized the Lord's Prayer before? Okay, Will, yes? Okay, a few of you guys, okay? I did it when I was your guys' age too, okay? But notice that it begins, what does it begin with, the Lord's Prayer? What does it begin with?
Hallowed be your name.
No, what's it begin with? Our Father. He's addressing the Lord as his Father, okay? Jesus is addressing God as his Father. So this means that prayer is deeply personal, okay? It's not a ritual, okay? It's a relationship. Okay, it should never be a ritual. It should always be a relationship. So through prayer, we engage with a loving Father who invites us to come before him as his children. Do you have a question? Yeah, Will?
I was just saying, I find that a lot of times I start with meeting your Father more and more. I start just repeating it, like I'm no longer praying. It's just kind of every night I pray it. But so I try thinking about what I'm saying more instead of just memorizing it and saying it off the top of my head.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, kind of including your mind, everything about you when you pray. Yeah, your heart, everything. Because when you say our Father, I mean, that's, you're proclaiming a lot there. You're proclaiming that, you know, he's your Heavenly Father. You're proclaiming that you have a relationship with him. So these are the things you must think about. Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks. Awesome. So the Lord wants us to engage with him. He already knows our needs. He already knows our desires, but he desires a constant communication with us. Like any relationship needs to survive, needs to thrive, okay? Any relationship that needs to survive, you can't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend without communicating to them, okay? That person will leave you immediately, right? Okay? You need to have constant communication just as any relationship needs to thrive. Okay? So God is our Father, is what the Lord Prayer starts out. He desires for us to speak to him as his beloved children. Someone turn to Romans 8:15. Someone turn to Romans 8:15 and read that for me. Whoever gets there first. Romans 8:15. Did you hear that, Jet?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yes, nice and loud.
For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father.
Yes, Abba, Father. Yeah, he's adopted us. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God has adopted us, and now we can cry out, Abba, Father. We can call him our Father. Okay, it's interesting that he starts out this prayer model for us by addressing God as Father. Guys, that is huge. It's huge. He doesn't say Almighty Ruler. He doesn't say Distant King. He says Father, which if you think of a father, a perfect father, he's close, he's loving, he's caring. So think of God, the Father, as a perfect father, one who loves, one who cares. Prayer is about intimacy as well. We don't just present requests to our Heavenly Father. We draw near to him, and we learn to trust him. Prayer is also ongoing. Someone turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a very short verse. It's three words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What does it tell us? Yes.
Pray without ceasing.
Yep, perfect. Pray without ceasing. Three words. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Yeah, pray without stopping. Don't stop. It needs to be a continual relationship, okay? It doesn't mean just for emergencies. It doesn't mean, hey, my cousin or my aunt and uncle are suffering through cancer, and then I pray. No, it's a continuous relationship. We should always be praying. Letter B. Prayer is submitting to God's will. So prayer is, letter A, is a personal relationship with God. Letter B is pray is submitting to God's will. Prayer is submitting to God's will. Look at verse 10. Someone read that for me. Verse 10. Who's got verse 10? Someone new. We need to get people involved. Oh, yes, Chloe. Can you read nice and loud for us?
Matthew 6:10, right?
What was that?
Matthew
6:10. 6:10, yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay,
so what are we praying here? So the Lord tells us this is how you ought to pray. Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Yeah.
Like whatever he wants for our lives, we are willing to accept what he's going to give us.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not an easy thing to pray, right? Whatever the Lord wills for our lives, Lord, let that happen. Yeah. This line for the Lord's Prayer is key. Okay. It reminds us that prayer is not about bending God's will to match our will. Okay. In your will, you want to be a professional athlete. You want to be the next movie star or singer or anything like that. Okay. You're not bending God's will in this prayer to match what you want, but you're aligning your heart with God's perfect plan. That's what you're doing here. Prayer is not about pulling God into my will, into what I want, but it's aligning my will to God's will. Okay? It isn't about getting your way. It's about aligning your heart with God's heart. So when you pray, it is about surrendering, not about controlling. You are surrendering your will. You're not trying to control the Lord's will. Okay, what does the Lord's will mean? Help me flesh that out a little bit. Yeah.
The Lord's will is what he wants you to do in your life.
Yeah, what he wants, his plan for your life. Yeah, which his plan in your life may come with a lot of trials like we've been talking about on Sunday mornings. Yeah. So when we pray, we're not giving God a list of demands. and expecting him to fully fulfill our every wish. That's not what we are called to do. Instead, we are called to surrender ourselves. Surrender ourselves to God's sovereign plan. Jesus modeled this himself in Luke 22, verse 42. Can someone turn there? Luke 22, verse 42. Jesus modeled this very thought of surrendering his will for his Father's will in Luke 22, 42. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what happened? Luke 22, verse 42. Who's got that? And then someone turned to Isaiah 55. Someone turned to Isaiah 55. Do you got Isaiah 55,
yeah.
Noah? Okay, read that one in a second. I'll have, yeah, Dominic, read Luke 22, 42. This is Jesus' model in surrendering his will for the Father's will. Yeah.
Say, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours.
Okay, that's right before Jesus dies, right? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane about to be arrested, and he prays, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He's surrendering his own will, what he wants, to align his will with the Lord's will. Yeah. True prayer acknowledges that God's ways are higher than our ways. Noah, read Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9.
Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so true prayer acknowledges that God's ways are higher than our ways and that he knows what is best for us. Okay, even when we don't understand, we need to we can understand that, Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are way higher than mine, as the prophet Isaiah said there, as Noah read, right? Even when we do not understand what God is doing, we can trust that his ways are best. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are perfect. Okay? It's also about trusting in God's timing, and it's about trusting that God will answer prayers. Guys, God will answer every prayer, whether that is with a yes or with a no. Okay? And we must be able to trust that his thoughts, when he does answer, and his ways are always perfect, even when we may not understand why his answer is the way it is, okay? And then letter C, and we'll end here. C is prayer is dependent trust in God. It's dependent trust in God. So prayer is a personal relationship with God. Prayer is submitting to God's will, and prayer is dependent trust in God. Someone read verses 11 through 13, the rest of the Lord's Prayer there for me. Yeah, 11 through 13.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lead us not into temptation, right? Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So prayer acknowledges that we need God for everything. We need him for our daily needs. We need him for our protection. And we need him ultimately for our spiritual strength to endure, to press on. So guys, we rely on God daily, okay? God gives us this day our daily bread, as the verse says, right? It reminds us that God is our provider. He gives us everything we need. Philippians 4:19, it says this, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean that when you pray, you're asking God, hey, God, I need a new set of clothes, okay? You don't need a new set of clothes. You want a new set of clothes, okay? He's supplying you with every need that you have, not your wants, but your needs, right? Guys, we seek his forgiveness. It says it there in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We seek his forgiveness. Confession is a vital part of prayer, okay? acknowledging our sins and receiving God's grace. Have you guys ever walked through the acrostic acts in prayer? Has anyone ever done that?
What's that?
Do you guys know what each letter means?
Oh, Romans?
Yeah, so acts. So A. Does anyone know what A is?
Ask.
Ask, or yeah, or we could say adoration, right?
Christ.
Adoration. We are adoring Christ. We are adoring our God, okay? What is C?
Christ. Confession.
Confession, yeah. Adoration, confession. Yeah, we're confessing our sins. We're seeking the Lord's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, it says the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. How about T? Does anyone know what T is?
Thanksgiving,
yeah. So we have adoration, we have confession, we have thanksgiving, which is thanking the Lord for everything that he has provided to us. And then what's S?
Supplication.
Supplication, yeah. What does supplication mean? Does anyone know?
Be supplied.
Yeah, yeah, supplying us with our needs. Yeah, perfect. Awesome. And lastly there, we see what we need to ask for strength, okay? We ask him in prayer. We rely on him for our daily bread. We seek his forgiveness and we ask him for strength. Jesus teaches us that prayer for deliverance from temptation and evil. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying that when temptation occurs, that he is able to lead us away from that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So prayer is not about performance. It's not about manipulating the Lord. It's not about just heaping up a bunch of empty words, but it's about cultivating a personal, dependent, and surrendered relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because Jesus teaches that prayer is a connection. It's a conversation with God from your hearts, a sincere conversation with him from your heart. It's rooted in intimacy, trust, and submission to his will. It is a means by which we align our hearts with God's heart, with his purposes, with his plan. We seek his provision. We confess our sins, and we rely on his strength. So as we grow in knowing God, prayer becomes the lifeblood of our faith. Becomes the lifeblood of our faith, and it deepens our relationship with the Lord, and it shapes us into people who trust in God's perfect plan. So I encourage you to be a person who prays. Be defined by prayer in your life. Pray to the Lord. He wants to hear from you, so speak to him. In order to have that relationship, it must be a two-way street. The Lord's already communicated to us through his word perfectly, so may we communicate to him through prayer as well. And that's how we come to know him even more, okay? Let me pray, and then you guys are dismissed because we're out of time this morning. Any questions before we pray? Okay. All right, so we know God through Bible study, and we know God through prayer. Next week, we're going to talk about meditation. Okay, and I'm going to show you a shirt that I have that kind of is a picture of meditation. Okay? It's about a cow that's chewing grass.
Ew.
And I'll talk about the process of how a cow chews grass if you know anything about that. Okay? We'll talk about that next week. That's what meditation's all about. Okay? So come back next week. We'll talk about that.
Why do we have to learn about cows?
Actually, wait. Not next week. Next week we're in here. Okay? 2 weeks. In 2 weeks we're back up here. Because next week we have the church meeting. We have baptisms. We have all that kind of stuff downstairs. Let's pray and then you guys are dismissed. So not next week up here. Next week we're down there. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for just this opportunity to learn more about how to communicate to you. How do we know you more? We know you through what you've revealed to us through Scripture. You've revealed to us perfectly through your word, your sufficient word. And then, but we also get to know you through prayer. Lord, you want to hear from us. Lord, may we intimately get to know you through communicating to you in prayer. And just the model of prayer that you've given to us through your Lord's Prayer. I thank you for this time. I thank you for these students. I pray that we have a good week and bring us back next week here to church on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.